Glory, 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 glory. Are there any fighters in the house? Oh, that's not, I'm not convinced. Are there any people in the house that are convinced that we can and will fight? Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. Doesn't matter how obstacles are stacked up against us. We will fight. My God, if you would stand with me for the reading of the word. For the reading of the word. You should have received a sermon note card upon entry. It is our newly designed sermon note card. Praise God for a new theme. Amen, somebody. 1 Timothy chapter 6, one verse for today, verse 12. I'll try my best to stay in that one verse, but y'all know me. Amen. That thing called context pulls me in the entirety of the passage. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. Anybody visiting with us today, please make sure you get the sermon note card. This is how we stay engaged with the message that will be proclaimed on today. Listen as I read this morning from the Christian Standard Bible. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. One word sermon on today. Fight. Come on, somebody say we say fight. Come on, say fight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you so much. We are ever so grateful for this tremendous privilege, this outpouring of your presence. Father, you met us here on today as we requested. And Father, I pray that all that we have done thus far was acceptable and pleasing to your sight. Father, we're grateful for these young people who have set the atmosphere. Thank you, Lord, for those who work with them. Thank you for the parents who brought them. Thank you for their willingness to serve the kingdom of God. Father, we're grateful for these dancers who also took us even higher into your presence. Now, Father, as we turn our attention to this, your word, Father, we ask that you would clear our minds now. Help us to focus in on this word for today. Father, help us to be mindful of our calling, our command to fight. Father, some of us don't feel like fighting. In fact, Father, we may feel like quitting, like surrendering, like giving up. So, Father, this message is for all of us. And I pray for those who are frustrated and somewhat downtrodden that you'd encourage their spirits on today with your word and your Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray and praise you. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated now in the presence of the Lord. Bless you, Reverend. We also baptized one young person on today. We will give, amen, amen. We will distribute that baptism certificate at the conclusion of our service. At the top of your sermon note card, we have what is called a message moment. This message moment kind of sets the atmosphere for the message. It helps you to understand the theme of the sermon. Just in case you may fall asleep and miss something, I want to make sure at the very least you have the message moment. Here it is. Listen as I read it carefully. Believers are commanded to contend or fight for the faith and for the faithful as we fulfill the calling upon our lives. Believers are commanded to contend. Everyone loves a good fight. I know it's wrong. I know it ain't holy, but let's just keep it real for just the introduction. Amen. Everybody loves a good fight. I can remember 1984 entering the campus of Sam Houston High School. It was completely traumatic. Here I was, this little guy around all these big people. And the most volatile time of the day was lunchtime. Come on, former principal, you know what I'm talking about. Something happens in lunchtime. And at Sam Houston High School, we can always count on a good break dance, a good rap, or a good fight. I'm telling the truth, y'all. It was amazing. And I remember one particular day. I made my way to the lunchroom, grabbed my Funyuns and my grape soda, and I was just waiting to see what would happen this day, when lo and behold, it happened. The star football player, running back, confronts this thin, tall young man. I was like, now how is this going to turn out? So I grabbed my Funyuns and went to the front row, amen? Because I knew that that star football player was about to lay this tall, skinny brother out. And as we positioned with the underdog, we were just looking at the underdog like, he don't have a chance. Y'all, something began to happen. I've not seen it before, and I ain't seen it since. This young, bony boy commenced to whooping that star football player. Y'all, he beat him up under the cafeteria table. I ain't lying. But the football player didn't recognize that that tall, skinny fella had had boxing training. He picked the wrong one, Casey. And we watched blow after blow after blow land with precision. I mean, this dude was, it was like, and y'all, I was licking my fingers, and I was thinking, man, this boy can show fight. This was the running back's world. He owned that school. And the underdog was just some skinny kid from around the way. But the skinny kid, the underdog, had training that the running back could not compete with. Oh, I'm coming down your block. See, the football player underestimated the underdog, and as a consequence, he lost the fight. Beloved, we are all underdogs. We are in his world. This place does not think well of any one of us who profess the name of Jesus, but I'm here to let you know, every believer under the sound of my voice is more than a conqueror through him who loved us. So it doesn't matter how the enemy comes at us, child of God, you already have the victory. But you still got to fight. You still got to fight. Our text is a wonderful mentor letter to a young man and a young church, the church at Ephesus. And it was a reminder for them to keep focused upon God's priorities, not upon man's priorities, and to be faithful to the Lord in the midst of challenges. Timothy needed to know that he could win, that he would win, that the battle had already been won, but he still had to fight. See, it's hard to comprehend those seemingly contradictory statements. Pastor, I've already got the victory, but I still got to fight. Listen, you got to fight because the enemy is too stupid to recognize that he's already lost. Beloved, you already fighting, but you don't realize it. So here's the question. Are you ready and willing to fight? Get that down. You got to ask yourself the question, am I ready and willing to fight? Am I ready and willing to fight? Because all too often we have become a bit passive and we just kind of accept things as they are. And we don't put any effort to reclaim, to take back, or to fight. We just, So before I begin the message, I need to ask the question, are you ready and willing to fight? See, here's the thing. We already fight, but we don't realize it. Let them help you understand this. We fight for our families. I need a witness up in here. You fight for those families. Yes, you do. Watch this. You fight with your families that they will do well. I'm stacking this thing up. We fight for our families, and we also fight with our families.
Because we understand that every now and then, you got to knock a child upside down. No, I didn't say it that way. You got to encourage a child. I went back to 84, y'all. I'm sorry. You got to encourage a child. Lead a child in the way that he or she ought to go. And oftentimes, they just don't get it. So you got to fight for them. You got to fight with them. But then thirdly, y'all, we fight against any and everything that comes against us to hinder our progress. See, I'm telling you, you already fighting right now. You just don't realize it. You fight for your marriage. You fight for your children. You fight for your job. You fight for your future. But Pastor Brown, help me understand something. Who do we really fight with? Now, I remember, Pastor, there's a scripture in Ephesians that talks about our struggle is not against flesh and blood, which I understand that to be people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, spiritual forces in the heavens. Pastor Brown, who am I supposed to fight against? There's some enemies of the faithful that we have to be mindful of. The first enemy I want you to make note of is the flesh. I want you to get that down. Somebody say the flesh. I'm not going to read all of it. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 24. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. Paul said, listen, even when I want to do good, there is something on the inside of me that just, it just pulls at me. It just tugs at me. I mean, Lord knows my heart. I mean, when I said that was the last time, I meant it. But here I am saying it's the last time again. There's just something on the inside of me that just pulls at me. Do I have a witness in the house? It's just your flesh. And so the flesh has a way of pulling us contrary to God's will. That's one of our enemies. Second enemy is the devil. I messed up, y'all. Y'all messed up. The first should have been the world. Let's go back there. The first is the world. My bad. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first enemy is the world. We are talking about the first, but first is the world. 1 John chapter 2:15 says, do not love the world. Wait a minute, Pastor, but we live in the world. See, we are to be world changers. We're not to be changed by the world. So it is possible, Stephen Brown, to be in the world, but not of the world. I know I got to go to work. I know I got to live. I know I got to interact with people. But I am the one who is to be the standard, not the world. So John said, listen, don't love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, something is wrong. You're missing something. He goes on to say the Father's love can't be in you because you can't have a love for what you see on television. I'm coming down your block now and still have a love for the things of God. You just can't love both. You can admire, you can appreciate it, but love, allegiance, sacrificial loyalty only belongs to God. So the enemies of the faithful is the world, the flesh that we already spoke about. Then thirdly, the devil. Beelzebub, the enemy, the lion. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. See, that's why the enemy is after our young folks. Y'all, come on. We've been around the block a little bit. Amen. We can kind of spot the enemy when he's coming. We know we can look at somebody and say, you're not of God. I just know some ain't right with you. But the devil knows that these young ones have not formulated their spiritual level of maturity. So he comes after them day after day, school day after school day. Why? Because he knows if he can get them, he'll get our future. Y'all ain't helping me up in here. So the devil is looking for anyone. So we got a fight on our hands. So in this couplet passage, I'm using two verses, a couplet, 11 and 12. Paul is exhorting Timothy to be prepared for the obstacles that he would face. And he communicated this in a fourfold command statement. Look at verse 11, if you will. He says, "But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." Verse 12, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Let's dig a little deeper. He's communicating the first command is flee. Come on, somebody say flee.
Flee.
Say it like you mean it. Say flee.
Flee,
and then he gets real specific, fake success. What you talking about, fake success? Flee the success that the world has stamped is good. Flee it. And y'all, fake success, according to this entire verses 3 through 10, fake success can even make its way into the ministry. Ooh, y'all got to help me preach this. Fake success can find its way even on your job, not just on my job. Yeah, it can make its way to ministry, but it can make its way into your job. And Paul is saying, Timothy, young church, you better learn how to flee. Fake success. Look at verse 10. He says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." You got to flee fake success. See, here's what I'm learning. I'm discovering. It's not necessarily that the Lord wants me to be rich. Oh, I need y'all to help me with this. It's not that he necessarily needs or wants me to be rich. He simply don't want me to be a slave to the borrower. Oh, God, see, there is some wiggle room between being rich and being a slave. But for most of us, all we know is being a slave. So we buy stuff we can't afford to impress people we don't know who don't like us. And we end up working these jobs so much that we never have time for our families. We never make the special moments in our families' lives. Why? Because we are a slave. Paul said, you got to flee. And see, I'm convinced, I've told you this many times, the world has switched the price tags. The same way they switch the price tags on teacher salaries. How on earth can a man running up and down a fake grass field with a pig skin make more money than a person who holds the future to our destiny? What has happened to the world? Flee. Somebody say flee. But I'm still moving. The text is moving. Secondly, love, follow. Follow. Somebody say follow. Not only must you flee fake success, you must follow faithful teaching. The text 11b says, "And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." You got to get away from the stuff that would draw you away from God, and you got to draw closer to the stuff that edifies your soul. Pastor, be more specific. What happens? So this is verse 3. He says, "If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain." Y'all, that's the kind of stuff that we got to stay away from. we got to watch these fake teachers who somehow equate our faith with some sort of material acquisition. One has nothing to do with the other. Are y'all hearing me this morning? So stop being impressed. The price tags have been switched.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For there will come a time when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear." So I'm here to make a declaration. When you come to GBBC, you're going to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you follow the word and the God behind the word, and you do yourself right. He says, first of all, listen, he said, you got to flee some stuff, you got to follow some stuff. But then thirdly, watch this. Paul says, you got to fight. Paul says, you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to fight for the faith. You got to fight for the faith. 12th day clause says, fight the good fight of the faith. You got to fight for the faith. Fight the good fight. The root of that is the term to agonize. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be given to you. There's going to be some blood, sweat, and tears that are required to fight. I mean, just think about it in the physical. What kind of fight have you seen where people fighting against each other just stood there, no sweat, no blood, no swollen eyes? That's a discussion. That ain't no fight. But this isn't the first time Paul has told Timothy to fight. In chapter 1, verse 18, he said, listen, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you, so that by recalling them, here it is, you might fight the good fight. Y'all, we got to have more folk fighting for the faith. Every now and then, you may have to actually open up your mouth. I'm sorry, but your t-shirt may not be enough. The cross around your neck, beautiful, ornate, it sometimes may not be enough. There may come a time where you actually have to contend for the faith. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. So he says, look, you got to flee. You got to follow. You got to fight. You got to have another F. Here's the fourth one. Fulfill. I'm going to show you how I got there. Fulfill. In other words, make the most of your faith. He says fulfill. He says in verse 12, the B clause should be the B clause there. He says, take hold of eternal life to which you were called, about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, understand a few things, because theologians have had a difficult time with this text because he's saying take hold of the faith. Timothy was already saved, first and foremost. It's not him grabbing hold of salvation. The inference of the text is, Timothy, I want you to grab, watch this, what has grabbed you. Ooh, y'all got to help me. I want you to grab what has grabbed you. And in your grabbing, make sure you make the most of the reason for which you have been grabbed. Oh, y'all help me preach this. It makes its way to Philippians chapter 3, where he tells also, take hold. I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. In other words, look at your neighbor and say, grab back. I need a witness right there. You got to grab back and take hold of your faith. Let me dig a little deeper. See, some Christians have eternal life, but never really lay hold of it. In the same way that some people are alive physically, but never really enter into the fullness, the fulfilling of life, because they're never really healthy or strong physically. Or some folks are blessed with wisdom, intellect, and knowledge, but never develop and never fulfill those blessings to become fully wise. We've got it, but we don't fully exhaust it. Got it. We've got it,
but we don't come close to expanding it. So what Paul is telling Timothy, brother, you have to feel full on that you've been given. You got to do something with your faith, Stephen Brown. So I'm coming around your block now before I get to this last part, because see, some of us, we're saved and stuck. I know you're going to heaven. There's no doubt about that. But all of the gifts and all of the power that's made available to you through Christ Jesus is just kind of laying dormant. Stay with me, y'all. It's real. Got them same two vacation Bible school verses. And one of them is Jesus wept. I'm going to say this too. You still negotiate with coming to Bible study. See, when you don't want to come to Bible study, you're telling the Lord and your church, I'm already full. Whew. And what the Lord is saying is, not last time I checked. All right, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. I'm going to ask you again. Are you ready, willing to fight? Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith. Three application points, and that's it. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Number one, beloved, you have to accept the fact that it's a fight. I'm going to understand that. You have to accept the fact that it is a fight. You got to accept the fact. Why are we still surprised when the enemy does stuff to us or our families? Now, I'm not telling you shouldn't go through, you know, the emotions of the moment. I get that. But why do we still get surprised when we can see that what's happening here ain't normal? This is some spiritual warfare. This ain't nobody doing nothing to me. This something is going on here. I can't put my finger on it, but this ain't nobody just hating on me. You follow what I'm saying? This ain't nobody just don't like me. It's something else. Something else happening. And see, it's time for us to dig a little deeper in our faith and stop trying to see things and explain away everything. You can't explain everything. You got to accept the fact that you're in a fight. And watch this. You are in a fight. Watch this. With those enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil himself. And I'm going to hit you. Listen, you can't fight him with your fists. Woo! You got to fight him with the word of God. You got to fight him and them with, watch this, with your prayers. Oh, God. So you got to actually suit up for the fight. Help me, Holy Spirit. So when I say don't be surprised, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter admonishes the believers. He says, stop being surprised at the fiery ordeal that you find yourself in. Stop falling to pieces when you finally understand your family's under attack. Somebody say, accept the fact. Come on, say, accept the fact that it's a fight. Secondly, this is I got to land a little bit here. Secondly, we have to avoid the bad fight. I'm coming down your block. We have to avoid the bad fight. Oh, God, he says right here, verse 12, A clause, fight the good fight. So the inference in the text is if there's a good fight, there has to be a bad fight. You got to avoid the bad fights. I like to watch boxing. I like to watch the MMA. I like to watch a lot of stuff. Yeah, I got issues. It's all good. But I like when I watch the fight. Both fighters, hallelujah, understand that when they enter the ring, they know who they're fighting, and they know also who's in their corner. They understand that there's two people in the ring, and they only have permission to hit one of them. Oh, God. If I could get church folk to understand that we're not here to fight each other. You fighting the wrong ones with trivial quarrels and trivial pursuits. Stop acting like, watch this, your neighbor is your enemy. The enemy wants you to believe that. That person ain't your enemy. But see, when you don't grow spiritually, you have a hard time identifying enemies. And so everybody's out to get you. Don't nobody like me at that church. But let me help you. Let me help you to avoid the bad fight. You got to suit up for the real fight. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. See, y'all come in a little closer. Some of us are fighting naked. You got to put on the full armor of God. And he's given you the best weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. Listen, you got the word of God. But what says if you don't know the word of God, it ain't going to help you. It's like having a gun with no bullets. It's like having a bow with no arrow. It's like having a knife with no blade. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Accept the fact, it's a fight. Avoid the bad fight. We're finished, thirdly and finally. This is so simple here. Aim to fulfill the faith. Aim to fulfill the faith. And this is the faith that Jesus Christ was killed, buried, and resurrected for. Aim to fulfill the faith. This concept of being full is so important. Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. So it helps me to understand this is so important. It is my responsibility as a follower of Christ, to be full, to develop my faith in such a way that I can be useful for the kingdom of God. We love singing a song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. But if you're going to be a soldier, we got some military folk in here. If you're going to be a soldier, one of the first things I know they teach you is how to operate your gun. Hold on. Teach you how to work your weapon. That's what we do here at church. We teach you how to work your weapon. So watch this. It's an aim to fulfill. You got to take hold. You got to grab back. And you have to fully exhaust your faith. When was the last time you grew? I'm trying to finish, but these questions keep coming up. When was the last time you grew? Pastor, what do you mean grow? See, you know you've grown when a situation comes back into your life and you don't respond the way you used to. I think I landed a little bit right there, Reverend. Help me find my key. See, when you go through the same thing, but this time you go through it, you don't respond like you used to. You ain't got an attitude. You ain't got a clap back. As a matter of fact, you let the Lord fight your battles. Is there a witness in the house? I feel my help in here that can testify that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Have I got a witness? Is there somebody in the house that can testify? I will fight. Come on, don't fool me now. I will fight. Say that like you mean it. Say, I will fight. I'll fight for my family. I'll fight for my faith. I'll fight for my church. And I'll fight for my Lord. Come on and praise him. If you're going to fight, say, I'll fight. His kingdom come. Hey, hey, fighters mount up. Fighters mount up. Wave your hand. Open your mouth and declare, I'll fight. Oh, that's good. Come on and bless him up in here. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. All the fighters, bless him. All the fighters, bless him. All the fighters, bless him. I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to fight for my children. I'm going to fight for my life. Fight. 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 Hey! Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you're able, stand up with us. Get some of this. Come on, don't just sit there. Stand up with us if you're able. Come on, get some of this. Come on, bless the Lord in this place. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Get some of this. Get some of this. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Bless the Lord right now. Don't just sit there. Come on, bless him right where you are. Talk to him. Talk to him. We've been fasting for 7 days. Come on, talk to him. Tell him what you're fighting for. Come on, open up your mouth. I'm fighting for my home. Come on, tell him. I'm fighting for a new job. Come on, tell him. I'm fighting for peace of mind. Come on, tell him. Come on, tell him. Tell him, open up your mouth. Tell him. I'm fighting for my future. Come on, tell him. Tell him. I'm fighting for my sanity. Come on, tell him. Tell him. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. 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 Woo. Come on, come on. Oh, God. Oh, God, we bless you. We bless you in this place, Lord. Oh, God, we bless you right now. Lord, we honor you. Oh, God, we're grateful to you, Father, for the command to fight. Oh, God, I lift up every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that you bless them. Bless them, Lord, with a zeal to fight, with an unction to contend. Father, our faith is under attack. Our values are under attack.
Father, may we not be cowards, but may we be contenders. Oh God, bless your name in this place. We glorify you. We bless you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, let everybody say amen. One more hand right there. Come on. Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on down, preachers. I want to give someone a privilege.